So we think the picture is improving for an improvement in REIT earnings growth in 2024 and 2025. And the fact that the REITs are refinancing debt at modestly higher rates is pretty well factored into their valuations and their earnings expectations.
Hello, and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borgson-Quito. Joining me today is Steve Brown, Senior Portfolio Manager for American Century Investments. Steve's here to share his thoughts on the landscape for REIT investment today. Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So let's start by taking a broader look at what really is driving REIT performance so far in 2024 and what you see in the months ahead.
So we just finished up the first quarter a week or two ago, and REITs were about flat for the first quarter, so neither up nor down. The companies had earnings for the fourth quarter were released in the first quarter, as well as guidance for 2024. And for the most part, 2024 guidance was conservative, but in general, they're looking to about 4% earnings growth in 2024. I would say, though, that it's a bit of a replay from 2023, that REITs are off to a quiet start in 2024, whereas the S&P 500 is up about 10% year-to-date through March 31st. So I think as we get through the year and we see more earnings power for real estate, I think we'll get a little more attention. But right now, it's quiet. REITs have given guidance, but there's more excitement in other parts of the investing world.
Right. And how have higher interest rates really impacted REIT earnings and values?
Last year, and also in 2022, were challenging years for many sectors, including real estate. The Federal Reserve began a campaign of increasing short-term interest rates, and the last rate hike was in July of 2023. The concern was that higher interest rates would impact real estate values, causing cap rates to go up and real estate values to go down. And there was also concern about higher interest rates impacting a company's ability to refinance debt at attractive rates, or they'd be refinancing their debt at higher interest rates. And while that did happen in both 2022 and 2023, the REIT earnings outlook still looks very solid. Demand is better than supply in many property sectors. And also, I think that given that REITs were down a good bit in 2022, and they did come back to finish the year up about 12% in 2023, most property sectors are trading at a discount to NAV. So while there have been concerns about higher interest rates, the Fed hasn't increased rates since July of 2023, and I think the fact that REITs are refinancing their debt at higher rates, but at a stable level, gives more confidence to an attractive growth outlook for 24 and 25 for REITs.
And what are some of the factors that could cause REIT stock price performance to improve?
I think as we sit here in 2024, a couple of things are going on. One is a strong economy. We're seeing inflation measures still very strong at 3.8%, very strong employment numbers, very strong wage growth. And what this adds up to is a strong economy, which is keeping rates up, but also it's keeping demand strong for many property sectors in the real estate market, particularly in public REITs. We believe that the majority of sectors that we invest in have positive demand supply profiles, meaning that the landlords or the REITs have pricing power so they can raise rents based on demand being greater than supply. And then secondly, the higher interest rates, as well as the higher cost of construction, have started to slow supply in many of the markets we invest in. So we think the picture is improving for an improvement in REIT earnings growth in 24 and 25. And the fact that the REITs are refinancing debt at modestly higher rates is pretty well factored into their valuations and their earnings expectations.
Right, Stephen, digging down a bit deeper into what you just mentioned, which property sectors do you really think have that pricing power and benefit from inflation?
Sure. First off is the data center sector for real estate investment trusts. They obviously are seeing a big uptick in demand from a number of clients, and they have pricing power. So they were actually a star performer in 2023, and that's also the case in 2024. The data center REITs are benefiting from the trend towards AI capital spend, as well as other expansions in technology. And so they do have pricing power. They're seeing improvements in occupancy, improvement in rents, and very attractive returns on capital for the business. So certainly fit that definition. Another sector that we're excited about is senior housing. Senior housing, which is predominantly private pay, but includes nursing homes, has seen a big uptick in occupancy of 200-300 basis points over the last 12 months. And secondly, the companies that are in this business in the REIT space do have pricing power. They've been able to raise rents 5-6% on a year-over basis. as well as increase rents to their existing tenants or residents. So we see senior housing, which is a large cap sector in the REIT space, as having pricing power. And other sectors such as hotels, regional malls, community shopping centers, single family rentals, and manufactured housing, they all have pricing power as exhibited by rising occupancy levels, higher rents on renewals, and accelerating same-store NOI growth. So that's it. Seven or eight property sectors within the REIT index that have pricing power. We would say there's a couple of sectors that are neutral. So that would be net lease, the timber REITs, and industrial. So their supply and demand is pretty close. So there's not a lot of pricing power in those sectors. But again, still delivering attractive earnings growth. And then finally, there are two sectors in the real estate space that have an issue of supply is greater than demand. And that would be the office sector, which gets a lot of media coverage. And interestingly enough, the office sector is only about 3 or 4% of the index. So it's a small component of the available REIT index, but it generates a lot of media coverage, whether it's in Bloomberg, the Wall Street Journal, et cetera, because of the high profile nature of some office properties, which are held in private hands, not in the REITs. And then secondly, self-storage is going through a period of supplies greater than demand, so they don't have much pricing power. But we think the majority of property sectors in the public REIT space do have pricing power, and that should accelerate as we move through 2024, as the economy has been stronger than expected, nominal GDP growth is very healthy, and demand is greater than supply for the bulk of the property sectors.
Nareit's REIT Week Investor Conference, the largest REIT dedicated investor conference in the commercial real estate industry, is taking place June 4th to the 6th in New York City. You'll get a chance to hear individual company presentations directly from REIT management teams and opportunities to request one-on-one meetings with more than 100 REITs. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just dipping your toes into the world of REITs, REIT Week offers a unique platform to gain insights, make connections, and stay ahead of market trends. Don't miss this opportunity to connect with REIT executives from all 14 sectors and discover investment opportunities. Register today for Nareit's REIT Week Investor Conference by going to go.reit.com/REITweekRR to learn more. What about REIT valuations? How do they compare with what you're seeing in private real estate today?
The REIT space, public REIT space, was down 25% or so in 2022. Last year, 2023, they did have a total return of about 12%, so they did rally somewhat in the last 2 months of the year. But what we're seeing based on third-party research estimates as well as transactions is that many REITs are trading at 5 to 10 to 15% discounts to private values. We think public real estate pricing is much more efficient than private. And so when we see REITs trading at 10 to 20% discounts to where private market values are, we think that's clearly a green signal for the attractive valuation of public real estate versus private real estate. And that could be versus private funds or private entities that don't mark their properties as quickly as public companies do.
We've seen a number of interesting M&A deals lately in the REIT space. Do you see potential for more this year?
Sarah, that's a very timely question. We're talking today on April 11th, and this week, Blackstone announced they are taking over, acquiring a public REIT, AIRC apartment company, at about a 25% premium to the stock price. So that's a very solid marker for the appeal of where public values are versus private. So AIRC was bought at a 25% premium to where the stock was trading, and estimates are that their Blackstone is buying them at about NAV or real estate value. So that's an example of a couple of things. One is big discounts in the public market of 20-25%. And two, big money and sophisticated money coming to the REIT market to buy REITs, because it's much cheaper to buy public real estate today than private real estate. And Blackstone has been one of the leading fundraisers for real estate, private real estate funds. So they've been putting it out in the public market. There have been some REIT-to-REIT transactions. A couple of big ones closed in the last 3 to 6 months. One was Realty Income buying a net lease REIT that closed in February. And then Kimco acquired a smaller REIT, RPT, which closed in January. And then Regency Realty acquired a small REIT, Urstadt Biddle, that closed in July of 2023. So generally what we're seeing here is that whether it's large private entities like a Blackstone or other private equity firms, or large, well-capitalized public REITs like a Kimco, like a Realty Income, like a Regency, are acquiring smaller REITs that are trading at big discounts to NAV. In these instances I just mentioned, the companies were trading at 15 to 25% discounts to NAV prior to being acquired. And so I think that theme will continue in 2024 because there's still many publicly traded real estate companies trading at the 15 to 20% discount to NAV versus private market values. The capital markets are fairly open to real estate. There is debt capital available. It's at a higher rate, but there is debt capital available for the majority of property sectors. And I think that there is some optimism that we've clearly passed the peak of the rate hiking cycle. The Fed hasn't raised interest rates in more than 6 months. And so we're past the peak of increased short-term interest rates. And we have very modest concerns about an economic slowdown. In fact, we have the opposite. We're seeing better than expected economic growth. And that's going to flow through to REIT earnings over the next 12 and 24 months. As the landlords, again, I mentioned the majority of the REIT property sectors have pricing power. And that should become more obvious as we move through 24 and as we come into 25. And I think that's what's stimulating these pools of capital coming in and bidding on and acquiring public real estate companies or REITs.
Great, Stephen. Finally, any other trends or developments in and around REITs that you're paying particular attention to right now?
For sure. I think one trend that continues to show up for us is the disconnect between development costs and replacement value. We've spoken a lot about demand being greater than supply in a number of property markets. And where there is supply or there's construction activity, construction costs are up 25 to 40% since 2019. That includes land, labor, materials, as well as the cost to finance. And so when newly developed real estate hits the market, it's at a much higher price basis than existing real estate. So there's a sizable gap between what an economic return needed for the rents on the new properties versus the existing properties, which are at a much lower basis. And I think a couple things are going to happen. One is there's going to be a continued gap between the existing properties having pricing power versus the newly opening properties that come out 2024. And two, and we're starting to see this right now, is we're seeing that 2023 and 2024 are shaping up to be peak years for construction completions in many of the core property sectors of real estate. And the reason for that is because the economic returns have declined because of rising costs and particularly rising interest rates. And so we see completions starting to really come down or ratchet down in 2025 and 2026, not because the markets are soft, but because the cost to build has increased so much that the returns are no longer attractive for developers. And so I think that's going to bode well for the earnings setup for existing public REITs that have a sizable portfolio of properties in place and open will benefit from a declining supply picture in many of those core property sectors we talked about earlier.
Excellent, Steve. Thank you so much again for your time.
Sarah, I appreciate it. And I'm optimistic about improved REIT performance for the balance of the year as we see an improved earnings picture as the year unfolds quarter by quarter.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.